Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, sports fans. It is Sunday, September 21st, 2014. Week 3 is upon us. How much longer will Roger Goodell be upon us? And a good morning to everyone. How is everyone doing? I am your host, Ryan Stern. Welcome to a new episode of Beyond the Bench. We are brought to you, as always, by BackSportsPage.com. Make sure you check out BackSportsPage.com. Got great content up there right now. Got great content coming your way from all the hosts of the BackSportsPage Radio Network. We got Seth and Sean on Tuesdays. We got Real Sports Talk Radio with Randy and Mike T. Under the Hoodies earlier in the week as well. Thursdays, you have your fantasy football show with Monday Morning Quarterback, Anthony and John. Real good fantasy players, so if you get the chance to check out that podcast, definitely do. You can go to BackSportsPage.com, check out all of the archives. Follow them on Twitter, at BackSportsPage. Go to Facebook.com/BackSportsPage. You can follow me on Twitter, at RStern33BSP. The show is on Twitter, at Beyond the Bench. The show is on Facebook, facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. If you go to the Facebook page, you will see a link where you can sign up for DraftKings. You can play against me this week on DraftKings. Now, the daily lineup that I'm giving you will be for FanDuel. So, they do have two different salary cap structures. They do have two different formats. So the lineup I'll be giving you will be my FanDuel lineup, so you don't know who I'll be playing. I may be playing some of the same guys. I may not be over on DraftKings. But definitely make sure you go to the Facebook page. There is a link for you to sign up. Play against me on DraftKings. But before we get into our fantasy football talk, and we're going to have a special guest on at around 9:15. Got John Laub from FootballDiehards.com. He'll be joining us. We'll play our weekly game, Studs, Duds, and Sleepers, with John. We'll get his expert insight as to who he thinks are going to be some plays that you that you're going to want to look into, and also with the injury bug that's hit the NFL, who's going to be the guys that you're going to want to pick up. But before we get into that, I want to jump into the Roger Goodell press conference on Friday afternoon. There was one, possibly two MVPs of that press conference, depending on how you look at it. Not one of them was Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell spoke for 45 minutes, but didn't answer a question. The real MVP of the press conference was Rachel Nichols. She asked the questions that we all wanted to know the answers to. And I think Dancing with the Stars should call up Roger Goodell, because he danced around those questions to the best of his ability. There's still so many questions left to be answered. He kept saying that they handled it wrong to begin with, and that there's going to be new policies, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. How about telling us what's already in place? Because we don't know what's already in place. You say that there's a mandatory 6-game suspension for anything that's of domestic violence. And yet we've now seen four or five players in the past 2 weeks in trouble for domestic violence, and we don't have a definite suspension for any of them. The fact that Roger Goodell left it up to the team, the Minnesota Vikings, to put Adrian Peterson on this, this had to have been made up, because no one has ever heard of this before, the NFL commissioner exempt list. What is that? there were questions about how about if Roger Goodell had actually thought about resigning. Someone had asked him, and it seemed like his answer was no. But the aftermath of this press conference, which was supposed to be bringing us all into the light as to what the NFL is dealing with, only opened more boxes, only left us with more questions. And the fact that he can't answer questions, that he can't put specific time frames on what is going on in the NFL is absurd. He's lost all control. When you talk about someone who a player of the past 20 years, there aren't many players that are more respected than Teddy Bruschi for what he had to go through off the field with his health issues, what he did on the field, and what he never did off the field, which was get into any sort of trouble. Teddy Bruschi was as stand-up a player as there is. And right after that press conference, he said even more then did he believe that Roger Goodell should either resign or have the job taken away from him. And I 100% agree. Roger Goodell has lost. He may not have lost the respect, the admiration of the owners, because that's who he works for. He works for the owners. But I guarantee you, the majority, somewhere between the majority and all of the NFL players, don't respect Roger Goodell anymore. Not that some of them may not have in the past, but I guarantee you there are more now than there ever were before. The NFL is, and what's crazy is that they're still going to make money, because this is going to actually draw more people to watch the NFL, because now you have other groups. You have the women's rights groups that are probably going to be tuning into football to see what happens with the players that are in question. So they're going to, the NFL is not going to have a problem with money, but there is as big a black flag, a big a black cloud hovering over 345 Park Ave. that there ever has been. And it's sad because there isn't a bigger spectacle for regular season, for postseason, even for preseason, than the NFL. I mean, how many people do you think, there were more people, I saw, and for those of you who are listeners of the show, know that I'm a big hockey guy, and with hockey coming up around the bend, we will have our NHL preview coming up. But there were more people that watched the Giants-Bills preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, which was the first preseason game of the year. More people watched that game in the United States than watched Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, which the LA Kings eliminated the New York Rangers. More people watched a game that didn't count. The NFL is it. The NFL is the sport in the United States. And nothing comes close to it. But this needs to be run by someone who has more competence. And the thing that may make Roger Goodell look even worse is how well Adam Silver is looking in the NBA. He's come out and he's put his foot down. He's laid the law right away to a point where everyone now knows that this is a guy that is going to take care of business when business needs to be taken care of. And Adam Silver is, and we all know, I'm not a big NBA guy, but Adam Silver is outperforming Roger Goodell in leaps and bounds. And I don't see any way that this, and it may not be right away, but I don't see any way that this ends up with Roger Goodell keeping his job. I just don't. I think there are too many question marks regarding Roger Goodell, and whether or not he can continue to handle this league. I'd love to hear from my listeners. 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. You want to call in, join, find out whether or not you think Roger Goodell will be able to keep his job, whether or not you think that he's doing a good enough job as is. Because there are some people that look at this as Roger Goodell trying to run a business. And right now he's one of the most successful business runners in the nation. Give us a call. Give us a tweet. Tweet us at Beyond the Bench. Go to facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. I would love to know your insight. We are going to be joined in just a minute. In fact, we have our special guest on the line right now from footballdiehards.com. You can read his weekly rankings up there right now. He's also one of the better college fantasy football players that you'll ever know. John Loud, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Ryan. It's great to join you on Sunday morning.
Yeah, and this is such an awkward time for the NFL because it's at the height of its popularity, and yet there's still so much, there's so many questions that still need to be answered. But we are going to try and tie into some of this discussion to fantasy. I want to know your views on the impacts of these players that are in question. And I want to start off with Adrian Peterson. What do you think the fantasy impact for him and for the rest of the Vikings are going to be if Adrian Peterson doesn't get onto the field in any quick period of time?
So my first thought is the way society is going right now with social media and the amount of information that is available to fans at this point, actions like Adrian Peterson, what he has done is just really not going to be accepted in the intellectual marketplace of ideas. And I'm very worried that Peterson isn't going to see the football field this season. I just think it is going to be nearly impossible for the Vikings brass and Commissioner Roger Goodell to allow him to appear in a uniform, especially this year. So I do not see Peterson coming back, which absolutely, let's say this kindly, destroys the fantasy prospects of the Vikings this year. I think their whole offense was going to be centered around Peterson's ability to keep seven men in the box, even force a safety in the box once in a while. Without that safety in the box, you can now cover Cordarrelle Patterson one-on-one. You can also pay more attention to Kyle Rudolph, who has gotten to a slow start. The only good news for fantasy fans is it will force the Vikings to throw more, because I feel like the running game is just not going to be there. Asiata has produced, I can't deny that, but I don't think he's a long-term answer at the running back position. Until he doesn't produce, I guess you can put him in your lineup as a flex, but he's just not a difference maker.
Do you see, and I know it, not a lot of people have seen him play, especially at the NFL level, but I do know that you follow the college game a lot. Do you think that Jerick McKinnon has a chance to end up being the long-term solution there?
Interesting. Jerick McKinnon is a fascinating prospect, but he did play quarterback in college. Now,
right.
The reality is he did run a lot. He was a running quarterback, and he does have some talent on throwing the football, but not at the NFL level and not really an NFL thrower. I do see him getting an opportunity. My only concern about the long-term viability of McKinnon, the NFL is a Spartan game. The NFL is a violent game for running backs. The carousel at the position never stops turning. Even the best running backs get banged up and get hurt. I'm not convinced that McKinnon could take 20 carries a game at this level, at this stage in his development. He will clearly get the opportunity at some point, but I think he's a 10-carry, 3-reception-type back change of pace. The one thing that I will give Asiata at this moment is he can clearly run the football between the tackles. I'm not convinced that McKinnon can do that at this point based on his skill set coming from college and having played quarterback. But he's clearly someone that I want to watch. I have not picked him up. I know a lot of people are picking him up. I'm more interested in other players or other long-term prospects than McKinnon, but he's definitely going to get a shot at one point, so you have to keep an eye out for him.
Now, there is one long-term prospect who I have definitely kept my eye on, and it's a very similar situation with the Vikings, and that's with the Baltimore Ravens. Ray Rice is now gone, and we all know right now we're seeing almost a 50-50 split between Bernard Pierce and Justin Forsett. In my deep league, I have a 16-team league that has 8 bench spots. So you, there are definitely not a lot of players that are available. I did draft Christine Michael, which obviously he hasn't seen the field yet. So I felt that it was okay for me to open up that roster spot. And I took a chance on a long-term flyer on Lorenzo Taliaferro. How do you see the Baltimore running back situation shaping out?
Interesting, because Taliaferro might be the best long-term prospect on this roster right now. His skill set coming out of college clearly fit Gary Kubiak's zone block one cut running scheme. For some reason, he's just not getting on the field. So something tells me he's either lacking in pass protection skills, or maybe his receiving skills aren't there yet to warrant more time on the field. But I do like Taliaferro as a runner. I think they're going to give Forsett the chance as a veteran, but we've all seen Forsett play. He's just an okay runner. I'm not going to get excited by Forsett. If I was guaranteed volume where I had 20 carries and I had 4 catches, then I would probably pay Forsett. And he's probably the number one guy right now, but long-term, I don't like him. And I agree with you looking deeper and looking for Taliaferro to get on the field. Maybe he pulls a Zach Stacy around week 5, 6, 7, where the talent is just so great and the learning curve is caught up that the Ravens finally give the kid a chance, because I think he fits to what Kubiak wants to do on offense.
Moving along to week 3, and I'm checking out your rankings right now, and one thing that really, I guess, hit me was your quarterback rankings. And you, I know that you did this before the Thursday opener, so having Matt Ryan at 4 looks awfully good for you right now. But at 5 and then 6, you have Jay Cutler and Matt Stafford both ahead of Peyton Manning, and we know Peyton Manning is going up against Seattle today. But having those two, and especially Cutler, I know the Jets have a weakened secondary, but their front 7 is pretty good. They can put pressure on the quarterback. And I love to see that you have Jay Cutler that high, because I'm probably the biggest Jay Cutler stockholder in the world. How do you see Jay Cutler and especially even Matt Stafford having a nice little juicy matchup? How tough was it for you to put the two of them ahead of Peyton Manning?
It was a very difficult decision. So the rankings, there are so many different fantasy football leagues and games and scoring systems right now. So I try to take into consideration a bunch of different factors. And to me, the Peyton Manning factor is, one, he's probably the highest cost quarterback in every salary cap league. So in order to invest in him, I've got to hope for a minimum of 320 yards and 3 touchdowns because of the cost factor. 2, the Seahawks are a buzzsaw at home. This defense at home for the last year and a half under Pete Carroll has just been extraordinary. Peyton Manning will learn from Aaron Rodgers' mistakes, and I will not fear throwing to the side that Roger Sherman is on. I think that was a strategic error by the 49ers. Third, the Seahawks are coming off a loss. I mean, what better motivation than having lost in San Diego, 104 degrees, tough game. Pete Carroll is going to have his defense fired up. The 12th man, it is going to be so loud. Therefore, I cannot take Peyton Manning in any kind of salary cap league. I have him in 2 leagues. I'm starting him. I don't have better options. Because if you drafted Manning early, you probably went deeper for your backup. So then I said to myself, I got to put him 7. I'm looking for about 250 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now let's get back. I love Cutler. I agree with you. I'm heavily invested. I have him on 3 teams this year. The Jets are a complete disaster in the secondary. They are going to go after Cutler. But Cutler has proven to be more durable than people give him credit for. He does take a hit. I was absolutely incredibly impressed with his comeback against the 49ers, because I think that's one thing that is kind of missing from the Jay Cutler resume career-wise, is this ineffable quality to make a comeback. The Tom Brady, the Aaron Rodgers, the Peyton Manning, it has not been part of his career trajectory. And here he is. He just really played well in that half. I don't see the Jets being able to stop Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall over 4 quarters. They will get their licks on Cutler. They will definitely pound Cutler at times, but they are risk takers. They are going to send seven or eight men. And once you get Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett in one-on-one, all they have to do is take a quick pass, shake one defender, and they're gone. I like Cutler a lot this week. I'm looking at about 300 yards and three touchdowns against the Jets.
I'm definitely down for that. now, with the running back situation, there's been one guy. There is one guy who I just didn't touch at all this year, just because I expected a major downfall. And through the first 2 weeks, he looked really good. And now, all of a sudden, it doesn't look like he's playing. Arian Foster is now doubtful to play against the Giants today. And the Giants haven't been terrible against the run. Alfred Blue looks like he's going to get the start today. Do you see him being a viable I don't know if anyone's going to plug Alfred Blue into their year-long lineups, but do you see him being an interesting daily play today?
You know, Alfred Blue, right now I have him ranked at 29. And I liked him at LSU. Now, he was in a timeshare with Jeremy Hill at LSU. He also was a little bit of an underachiever with the Tigers. However, his skill set, he's a big back. He's a power back. These LSU kids who come out, having played at the SEC competition, having played under Les Miles, these guys are usually pretty ready for the NFL competition and ready to perform. I would think at best you would probably play Alfred Blue in a flex position, depending on how you have or who you have on your roster. The running back carousel is just crazy this week. I mean, you might have lost two guys last weekend. Maybe you had Alfred or Arian Foster, and now he's down. So I do think Alfred Blue is a viable, high-risk, you know, flex position candidate to put into your lineup. And I totally agree with you on daily plays. If you are looking to make a difference, when we have so many people playing in these daily fantasy football leagues, when you're trying to separate yourself, if you're looking at a Matt Asiata, maybe a Jonathan Stewart, or, you know, an Alfred Blue, at this point, I like Alfred Blue. Maybe the cost, you save $300, $400 here or there. I think if the matchup is pretty good, they're going to run the football against the Giants. I like Alfred Blue as a long shot, absolutely, in a daily package.
I want to get one sit-start question for you before we jump into our studs, duds, and sleepers game that we like to play every week. It's a 12-team PPR. Reggie Bush, Shane Vereen, Matt Asiata, Trent Richardson, pick two.
Shane Vereen for me is a no-brainer. I just got to put him in. You never know what Bill Belichick is going to do. I've got to play him. Then I'm probably not going to play Matt Asiata today out of this group that you give me. So we're down to then Reggie Bush and you said Trent Richardson, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to put Reggie Bush in out of those two. I think he has not been involved enough in the game. I think this is a high-scoring game. The over-under by Vegas, I believe, is around 50. I've got to think that Reggie Bush is going to touch the ball more, and I'm going to hope for a big explosive play. So I'm going to put in Vereen and Reggie Bush this week.
All right, let's get into our studs, duds, and sleepers. And what I like to do is I like to take the three main positions. We got the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. With my studs, a top 12 perceived player that's definitely going to be in the top 12. Duds, a top 12 that you think can fall out of being even an RB2 or wide receiver 2. And our sleepers, someone who's maybe outside the top 30 that you think can have a big game today. Let's start off with quarterback.
All right. My first one, I'm going to go with the stud. I picked him in two of these daily leagues. I think you have to go with Drew Brees. I just think at home, coming off two, you know, good games but not great, playing Minnesota. I mean, three touchdown scenes at a minimum. I'm looking at four. So I'm definitely going to play Drew Brees in my two daily plays this week. The guy I like a little bit, not even a little bit, I guess I should say a real lot, the guy that I think I'm looking at is Ryan Tannehill. I like him at home against Kansas City. I think Kansas City has major problems in the secondary. I think everyone's eyeballing Kirk Cousins, and I understand why they're looking at Kirk Cousins. But if I want to separate myself from all the other players and I need to take a risk, I think I'm going to put Tannehill in those lineups. I really like him at the price, and I'm looking for about, you know, 275 yards, 35 yards rushing, and two touchdowns out of Tannehill. And I think I have a better chance of him performing well. I think there's a little bit more risk with Kirk Cousins, even though I do like the matchup. But I'm looking to separate myself, so I'm going to take Tannehill there. Now you wanted a dud, correct?
Yep.
Okay, the one guy that I'm very nervous about today is Phillip Rivers in Buffalo. He's coming off a great game. Everyone loves him. I have him at 13 in my ranking, so he's outside the top 12. Buffalo is nasty at home. They just bring it on defense. Their front seven is completely being overlooked. There is no way I have Phillip Rivers in any daily game. I'm not looking at him. I would even consider benching him if he is on my roster on a season-long team. I'm very, very worried about Phillip Rivers. I think his ceiling is very low, 230 yards, two touchdowns, but his floor could be 190 yards and a touchdown. So I'm not very interested or even looking to get Phillip Rivers anywhere.
In fact, I was at the Hall of Fame game, and I had the seats that we got were tremendous. I was within a couple rows of the field. And I got to tell you, and I know it was just preseason, but Marcell Dareus may be the most underrated defensive tackle in the game. He can absolutely maul anybody on that offensive line.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I watched the Dolphins and the Bills last week, and I watched a little bit of their opening game, and they just get at you. And I do believe you can frustrate Phillip Rivers. He likes to yap a lot. I mean, I've watched him against Jay Cutler and the Broncos over the years, watched him against the Raiders over the years. When you see him on the sideline, he's yapping. And I think you can get into Phillip Rivers' head a little bit. I think he worries more about the yapping and the talking than he actually sometimes does about the play on the field. So I think this is a really bad situation, and I agree with you totally. He is the most underrated defensive lineman, and I think the Bills are really going to get into his head.
My stud for the quarterbacks this week is going to be Aaron Rodgers. I just think that if the offensive line, and I think they're going to start using the tight end more to be blockers, if the offensive line can do a decent enough job on that really good Detroit Lions front four, then Aaron Rodgers is just going to eat up the Detroit Lions. He has done it he has over 275 yards in 11 out of his last 12 games against the Lions. So I think he's as safe as it comes today when you're looking at your studs. The dud that I'm going to go with is actually Tom Brady. Just because I think that the Patriots are going to just be able to run the ball right down the throat, and he's not going to be asked to do a lot, especially once they get up big against the Raiders. And my sleeper is actually going to be Geno Smith. And I'm not a real big Geno Smith fan. Well, I'm a Giant fan, so I dislike the Jets. But Geno Smith has looked 10 times better this year, 10 times more confident this year than he did last. And the Bears are experiencing some injuries on defense. They lost Charles Tillman for the year again, maybe for the rest of his career, which is sad because Charles Tillman was as good as they came for a long period of time. I just think that he's going to be greatly better than what his projected numbers are going to be today. So my stud dud and sleeper, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Geno Smith. Let's hear about your running backs.
All right. My stud of the day is clearly DeMarco Murray of the Cowboys. Tony Romo is hurting. Something's not right. The offense isn't clicking through the passing game. They're also playing better football, giving the ball to DeMarco Murray. So maybe this has forced the Cowboys to feed the Lions, to give their stud back the carries that he finally deserves. Jason Garrett has apparently been against that in the past at times, which is frustrating to Cowboy fans and fantasy fans. And DeMarco Murray in 2011 had over 250 yards against the Rams. Last year he had 175 yards against the Rams. I absolutely
Have NFL Network on? Because they literally were showing that graphic as you were talking.
Oh, I actually don't. I'm sitting in front of my computer right now.
That's funny. Literally, as you were talking, NFL Network put up a graphic about DeMarco Murray having 253 in 2011 and 175 last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him on my two daily play fantasy teams this week. There's no question that I'm going to put him in. Now, my number one sleeper that I picked up on three teams is Kyrie Robinson. I had some injuries at the running back position. I do think he's going to be the goal line guy. We know Pierre Thomas has a role in this offense, and I don't think that Sean Payton is going to change that role. So I think Kyrie Robinson is going to take all of Mark Ingram's carries. He's going to also – he's had carries the first 2 weeks. So if we add up those two carries, he should have about 17 to 20 carries this week. He should get the goal line looks. So I love him. I'm rolling on this. I think they're going to score 40 points. I look for Kyrie Robinson. If they're up, 32-7 in the fourth quarter, for Kyrie Robinson to be the guy to close out the game. So I do love Kyrie Robinson this week. And one guy who I'm not going to play, believe it or not, is going to be Monty Ball. I'm a little bit worried about this Denver game. I'm not sure if Ball's ready for this big step up. I think the Seahawks are unbelievable. They're approaching that elite NFL historical status when they are at home. They hit you. They're fast on that carpet. It is loud. I'm not playing Monty Ball in any daily league or any league in which there's a salary cap component in which I have better prospects. I do have him as a flex player on two teams because I don't really have anyone better than him, but I'm avoiding Ball at all costs in any type of big league game.
My stud for the week is going to be Gio Bernard. You look at what DeMarco Murray, and I know Murray is on another level this year so far, but you look what he did against the Titans last week and what Gio Bernard has done so far in the first 2 weeks. I think he's my stud of the week. I own Gio in a couple leagues, and I'm real grateful because he has been, other than DeMarco Murray, probably the second best running back in the league this year. My dud for the week is going to be Matt Forte. The Jets are good against the run, and as bad as they are against the pass, they are that good against the run. And it's just the way that they try and set the tone early in the game, because there are a lot of teams who try and set the tone with physical running early on, and the Jets shut that down. Now, Matt Forte in PPRs may not be a dud because he'll be heavily involved in the passing game too. I just don't see him being able to run with any great consistency. And my sleeper, you actually stole him. Kyrie Robinson was my sleeper. I am playing him in every daily league that I have entered in so far. And you said it perfectly. I don't think Pierre Thomas's role really changes much with the Mark Ingram injury. He may see an extra 2 to 4 touches, but I think the one who benefits greatly from it is definitely Kyrie Robinson. He will get the goal line opportunities, and with the Saints coming home after starting 0-2 on the road, they're not going to worry about scaling down their offense. They're going to put up points and show everybody that this team is for real, and they're going to hopefully show everybody why I picked them to go to the NFC Championship game. and finally, our wide receivers for the week.
All right. My number one stud, it seems pretty obvious, but I do love Jordy Nelson in this game. I have combined Rodgers and Nelson on 2 daily play salary cap games. I like the combo. If you hit it with 1 touchdown, you're doing fantastic. If you hit it with 2 touchdown receptions, you just hit the jackpot. I'm not afraid to take the quarterback receiver combo when I'm in the daily plays, especially when I feel really, really good about that. So I love Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers this weekend. Now, my sleeper of the week, I'm going to go to the same game. I have put Golden Tate in 4 lineups today. I have him ranked number 20 overall. I've been looking at his career touchdown to reception percentage, and they are very good when he played in Seattle. He hasn't scored yet this season. He has 11 catches. He is well overdue. Also know that the Packers are going to focus on Kelvin Johnson, as everyone does every week. And Matthew Stafford, I think, is going to find a wide-open Golden Tate in the red zone, if not beyond, like a 28-yard touchdown reception for Golden Tate, with probably about 8 receptions on 10 targets today. I love Golden Tate. The one guy I'm going to stay away from, and boy, I sound like a broken record, but I'm very concerned. I have ridden Emmanuel Sanders the first 2 weeks. I have loved this guy. I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be the decoy, and they're going to use Emmanuel Sanders against Roger Sherman a lot. They're going to throw to him. They're not going to let Sherman sit there and do what he did against the Packers in the opening Thursday night game of the year. But I don't think Sanders gets more than 3 or 4 targets today. Maybe he catches 1 or 2. I have actually put Sanders on the bench on 3 teams and elevated Golden Tate to the lineup over Emmanuel Sanders.
My wide receivers, and I'm a little worried now that you're saying that, because I do own Emmanuel Sanders in a couple leagues. Going to have to take a look at my rosters. But my stud of the week, and I'm going to now have to – I'll go a little different because Jordy was my stud of the week. But you know what? I'm going to actually go with Cordarrelle Patterson. The Saints have been able to be beaten through the air. You saw what Matt Ryan did to them week 1. You saw even Brian Hoyer had some success through the air last week. But I think that with this whole injury to the suspension to Adrian Peterson, I think Cordarrelle Patterson's going to be more heavily involved in the running game. I think you're going to see somewhere around 5 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson today, which every time he touches the ball, he has the chance to take it to the house. I'm trying to pick him up in any league, any daily league possible, but I really like Cordarrelle Patterson today. And then my dud and my sleeper are actually going to come from the same team. You were talking about the decoys, and when you said the word decoy, I thought you were going to take my guy, because I think AJ Green's going to be a decoy. I know it sounds like he's probable to play, but I don't see him being at all as explosive as we're used to seeing AJ Green. And I can see if he's out there, other teams definitely wanting to try and shut him down. And with other teams wanting to shut him down, my sleeper of the week is Mohamed Sanu. He's always been one of those fringe guys. But I think with Marvin Jones still out until probably at least week five, because they do have their bye next week, this is going to be a time for Mohamed Sanu to shine.
I agree.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I like Sanu in that game too. I think, you know, he can run reverses. He throws the ball a little bit. He does receive, and I think you're hit onto something. I do think A.J. Green's going to be a little bit of a decoy. They will throw to him, but I don't expect 100 yards and 2 touchdowns or anything like that from Green. So I think Sanu is a very smart, sneaky play today.
All right. With that, I want to thank John Laub for about a half hour of your time this morning. Everyone, make sure you follow John on Twitter at GridironSchol91, GridironSchol91. And also make sure you check out his work on footballdiehards.com. John will definitely be in touch with you soon, and enjoy your Sunday of football.
Thank you, Ryan. You too. And I had an amazing time. I love talking football Sunday morning.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, John. All right. Always great stuff coming from John Laub, footballdiehards.com. Again, make sure you follow him on Twitter at GridironSchol91. If you're interested in getting into college fantasy football, that's a guy that you're going to definitely want to follow. He's definitely sort of getting me into the feeling out process of doing fantasy college football. Real quickly, while we're on the fantasy train, going to go through my FanDuel lineup. Remember, you can check out the Beyond the Bench Facebook page at facebook.com/beyondthebenchBSP. I posted a link this morning. Click there, sign up, and go head-to-head against me, but not with this lineup, because I am going with a different lineup in FanDuel that I am in DraftKings. My DraftKings lineup reads, I was talking about him as my stud of the week, Aaron Rodgers. I am snagging Aaron Rodgers, even though he is the second most, he costs the second most on FanDuel. But I just think he's going to tear up the Detroit Lions secondary, as he always does. And I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to play Peyton Manning, who costs $100 more than him, when Peyton has to go against the Seahawks. I am thinking about Breeze, but I am doing what John actually said, and I'm pairing Aaron Rodgers up with Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson is coming in at 8,600, and he's my wide receiver too, because I also picked up Calvin Johnson in that same game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. So I'm picking the top two wide receiver options for you this week. And following up with my sleeper at 6,100, I am taking Mohamed Sanu. I think he has a big game against Tennessee this week. At running back, both John and I loved Kiri Robinson. He's only at 4,700. I'm picking him up this week on FanDuel. I pair him with Alfred Morris. And Alfred Morris in a PPR setup isn't always the best option, because he just doesn't catch passes. But I think Washington's going to want to slow down the Philadelphia offense. And with Michael Kendricks being out, that's a big loss. Philly then has to turn to Casey Matthews, who is nowhere near the quality of player that his brother Clay is. And then he gets benched. So now they're on their third string middle linebacker. So I think that with Kirk Cousins there, they're going to want to try and pound the ball, keep the ball out of the hands of the Philadelphia offense. I think Alfred Morris scores twice this week. And Alfred Morris is coming in at 7,600. At tight end, I normally don't like pairing up running back with a receiving option. And I may end up changing this, but as of right now, I do have Niles Paul in. And I just think that he's the safety blanket. And you saw not only did RG3 have a lot of confidence in Niles Paul, but so did Kirk Cousins. And I think when they throw, especially with DeSean Jackson, we know he's going to want to go out there and be as productive as possible with his return to Philly. But he was injured last week. Pierre Garçon didn't see many targets once Kirk Cousins came in. I think Niles Paul is in a right play this week, coming in at 5,000. Kicker, I took Nate Freeze from the Lions. He's a cheap option in a game that I think a lot of points are going to be scored. And I took the Cleveland Browns as my defense. They were a cheaper option. I don't think the Ravens' offense is all that good, and I really, really like the Cleveland D. They did a great job against New Orleans last week, and I just think that they're a cheap, good play. So there you have it. That's the FanDuel lineup I am running out this week. And with that, let's get into our week three picks. We'll start off with the Giants hosting the Houston Texans. And I've said it on the previous two shows, I'm going to need to see it from the Giants before I can pick them. And I didn't see it last week. But for some reason, I got the entire week, I've had this feeling that the Giants were going to come out and that they were going to win this game. And now, without Arian Foster in the lineup, I am going to take the New York Giants to beat the Houston Texans this week. I think Eli looked a lot better last week. He looked more comfortable. The first interception that he threw went off a shoulder pad. Not necessarily to blame, but the fumbles by the rest of the team were what killed the Giants against the Cardinals last week. The combination of Alfred Blue in the backfield and Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the ball makes me more confident that the Giants have a good chance to win this game. So it really is tough to go against a word that when I said I have to see it before I pick them. But I'm going to take the Giants this week. Then we have San Diego traveling east, take on Buffalo. San Diego coming off big win at home against Seattle last week. They're not good when they come east, though. And Buffalo is real good, and they're real good at home. The Buffalo Bills, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Move to 3-0, maintain first place in the AFC East against the San Diego Chargers. Dallas at St. Louis. I don't trust either quarterback in this game. And I think that the Rams, even though they are going to be without Chris Long, I think the Rams are going to try and make Tony Romo beat them because he hasn't shown that he can go out and beat you. And even with Austin Davis, I think Zach Stacy is another guy that I like this week. The Dallas defense has looked better than we all thought they would, but they're still not great. Give me the Rams at home over the Dallas Cowboys. Washington at Philly. This is going to be a barn burner. We have the return of DeSean Jackson to Philly. And if Philly plays the way that they played in the first half, the first two games, if they play that way in the first half this week, they're not coming back. I think Washington is a team that will have a better understanding of how to play with the lead, and I think they can better execute while playing with the lead. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some early deep targets to DeSean Jackson to try and get him into the game, to try and then maybe use him as a decoy the rest of the game to try and keep him healthy. Call me crazy, but I like Washington on the road to stun the Philadelphia Eagles. Minnesota travels to New Orleans. Both John and I think the New Orleans offense is going to put up a ton of points. Give me New Orleans big at home. Tennessee travels to Cincy. Tennessee was the hot pick last week. They were at home coming off a big win week one against the Chiefs. And they were taking on a Dallas team that was ripe for the pickings, and they laid an egg. Now they go into Cincy, who I think is the best team in the AFC. Cincy moves to 3-0, beating the Titans pretty handily. Baltimore-Cleveland. This is going to be if you like physical football, this is going to be the game that you're going to want to watch. Watch out for Cleveland. Watch out for Cleveland. And if Brian Hoyer wins this game, Brian Hoyer gives himself to week 8. I think if the Browns head into their bye at 2-1, he's given himself half the year before we see any move to Johnny Manziel. Because if they are winning, the call for Manziel to come in from the fans, from the media, is going to be so much less. And I think Hoyer understands it, and I think he knows he has to play well. Give me Cleveland at home against Baltimore. Green Bay at Detroit. Detroit didn't impress me last week against Carolina. I know Carolina's a real good team. But I think Green Bay takes the momentum that they gained from that second half against the Jets last week, and they ride that to a victory at Detroit. Indy travels to Jacksonville. They take care of business down there. And then I think next week we see the emergence of Blake Bortles as your Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback. Oakland will get demolished at New England. San Fran, Arizona, here's a good one. Give me the Arizona Cardinals coming home and taking care of business against the 49ers, who I think are in disarray. I said it from the start of the training camp that I thought the Niners were going to be the team that takes a step back. Super Bowl rematch, Denver at Seattle. I'm not as worried as John is. I know it's in Seattle. We all know what Seattle is at home. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Denver Broncos stun the Seahawks at home, and the Seahawks go to 1-2. Kansas City at Miami. This is a battle of attrition. And as banged up as the Dolphins are, I think that they end up with a victory only because I trust their quarterback more. Sunday night game should be a real good one. Pittsburgh, Carolina. Carolina was one of those teams I thought was going to take a step back. They obviously haven't. They've looked physical, demanding on defense. And I think that the Carolina Panthers move to 3-0 because I just don't see the Pittsburgh Lions being as dominant as the Carolina Lions can be. These primetime games are games that Cam Newton loves, and he thrives in the primetime games. And the Pittsburgh defense isn't the Pittsburgh defense we all remember. Carolina goes to 3-0. Monday night game, Chicago comes into the Meadowlands to take on the Jets. I said that I like Geno Smith as a sleeper. That doesn't mean I'm going to pick the Jets to win. I think Jay Cutler throws the ball and throws the ball some more. I do see a lot of quicker passes because I think that especially with the physicality that the Chicago wide receivers can have at the line of scrimmage, they can afford to do the quick stuff, not let the Jets front seven have any effect on the passing game. Give me the Bears to continue their momentum, especially playing on the road, to come into the Meadowlands and beat the Jets and move to 2-1. With that, I want to thank everyone for listening today. Again, make sure you visit backsportspage.com. We're going to have some new content up there from the hosts of all of your favorite Backsports Page Radio Network hosts in the near future. Follow me on Twitter at rstern33bsp. The show is on Twitter at Beyond the Bench. And make sure you like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. And until next week, I hope everyone has an enjoyable Sunday of football, and we will talk to you week 4.